The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Looking for strategies to help you protect your portfolio in these uncertain times? Visit RobBlack.com. RobBlack.com, powered by EP Wealth.
Welcome in, Rob Black and Your Money. I'm Rob Black, talking all things financial, money, investing, and more. Interesting weekend. And I know you're saying, what happened? Well, Iran threw a lot of missiles at Israel, and Israel's missile defense systems protected Israel. It brought up the immediate question, is this is an act of war? Will Israel respond? They certainly have the capabilities, and I guess you could say they certainly have the excuse. Joe Biden went into president mode and instantly called for a non-war escalation. A betting man would have said, oh, Wall Street's not going to like this. But it turns out that skirmishes in the Middle East can create some short-term volatility, but longer-term, the greater good seems to be served. And oil-producing countries tend to help during tense moments. It's not always going to happen like that. But crude oil's down today. Again, it's not what you would have thought. And I throw that out there again. Sometimes you think you're smarter than the market, and you're not. Stocks are rising today as they're relieved with some earnings and some strong retail sales number. This is not the end-all be-all of importance, but the retail sales numbers kind of tells the story of the economy is doing well. Jobs are doing well. People have jobs. And when they have jobs, they go out and spend at retail. This is what you want in theory instead of low interest rates. Now, again, those low interest rates certainly do help getting mortgages, right? I get it. I do. So 70% of our economic output in the United States is tied towards retail sales. And the rise in inflation story of consumer price index, CPI, last week, didn't deter consumers. Retail sales increased 0.7% for the month, considerably faster than the forecast for 0.3% rise. If you exclude autos, retail sales jumped 1.1%. A rise in gas prices obviously helped push retail sales numbers higher. So that's kind of like a boo. Gasoline prices are higher. It's good for the economy. They're not, in my opinion. They tend to act as a tax on individuals. The biggest area for online or for growth in retail sales was online. Losers or slower sales were seen in sporting goods, books, clothing, stores, and electronics. So if you own like a Best Buy, you probably you could extrapolate a little bit there. If you own a clothing retailer stock, you could extrapolate a little bit there. Today is tax day. The IRS expects 19 million people to file for a six-month extension this year. It's recommended, though, if you owe money, that you pay it today so as to avoid interest and penalties. Mark Cuban said he's sending in $288 million today. And he's proud to pay his share. That's a lot of money. I can think of one other billionaire who doesn't take a lot of pride in paying his taxes. It's interesting because he gets a lot of hate for kind of comes across as a normal person. The only thing that he does that I really don't like is the private jets. I think that's just so bad for our planet, but I don't know. What am I supposed to say there, right? his drug company, where he's selling drugs at low cost. It's changing the world. It's changing the United States for the better. He's built in a formula. He negotiates big drug purchases, sets a profit margin at something like 15%, and then passes it on to you instead of huge markups. Beyonce bounce. What is it? Western boot sales jumped more than 20% week over week since Cowboy Carter launched. Tesla is going to lay off more than 10% of its staff, seeing that they have 140,400 employees. That equals about 15,000 global workers. They're set to report earnings on April 23rd. Tesla also announced over the weekend that they're cutting the price of the subscription for its full self-driving software in half, from $200 a month down to $99 per month. So if you wanted to pay $12,000 for it forever and ever, or as long as that Tesla lives, there's really no sense in that anymore. Because at $99 a month, that comes out to $1,200 a year roughly, right? So you'd have to own the Tesla for over 8 years to get that money back. Longer than that, excuse me. So that's going to be interesting to see how the vultures come out when Tesla reports their earnings on the 23rd of the month. Other big stories of note, Caitlin Clark, she's doing quite well. She's going to be drafted number one tonight. She was on Saturday Night Live during the news segment. Did an okay job for an athlete. It's tough to come across as a smooth entertainer. But a perfect storm is hitting her right now. Popularity is at an all-time high for her. Her licensing deals, her name, and her image. She's the Division I career scoring leader. She'll be selected first by the Indiana Fever during the WNBA draft on tonight. Her presence in the NCAA drove ratings to record highs, and the final game of 14 million plus had more viewers than the men's final game. Tickets for the Fever's first game against Connecticut's Sun rose 91%. 2 million followers on Instagram. She had deals with Nike, Gatorade, Xfinity, State Farm, and Buick. eBay visitors have searched Caitlin Clark on its site by more than 11,000 times daily. No woman's professional basketball player has ever had a collectibles market. On eBay, 7 trading cards listed for more than $10,000. One was recently purchased for $20,000, and it was autographed, commemorating her record-breaking 3,528 point. One Clark card with perfect printing and autograph sold in January for $78,000. Is there some mania going on there? There is. This is a big earnings week. Today we got Goldman Sachs and Charles Schwab. We have the tax deadline. The IMF and World Bank spring meetings are happening. For some reason, I keep seeing the Boston Marathons today, the Boston Marathons day. And I don't know if I'm supposed to care about that. Earnings out from United Airlines, Bank of America, Johnson & Johnson, Morgan Stanley, United Healthcare, J.B. Hunt, all tomorrow. I think tomorrow is the big day for me as far as earnings this week. 30. You will have some other names later in the week, like Blackstone, Taiwan Semiconductor, Nokia, Intuitive Surgical, American Express, Procter & Gamble, Fifth Third Bancorp. So it's earnings season. Oh, and it's also NBA playoffs starting this week. 10. Ah, so much going on, right? You can find me online at robblackshow.com. That's robblackshow.com.
Questions about Social Security? Check out the Social Security Retirement Guide at robblack.com. That's robblack.com, powered by EP Wealth.
I'm Rob Black, talking all things financial, money, investing, and more. Thanks for listening to the show. Interesting note, the markets are higher today. We had a tough week last week, if you want to say a tough week. When you're 2% from your all-time highs, that doesn't really feel that tough to me. But today the markets opened higher and they have started working lower. I would love, and this is going to sound like I'm crazy, I would love a good 5 to 10% correction. I don't like markets hitting all-time highs 6-7 months in a row. Don't like it. Too many winners at that point in time. Too easy. Trump Media shares, ticker symbol DJT, slide another 15%. They're having a bad run of it. Issuing more shares, raising money, dilutes the current shareholders. So that's the story there today. Down another 15% at $27.62. I would not touch the stock because of fundamentals. I don't buy stocks or investments due to politics. I buy based on balance sheets, number of users that a company has, how much they get paid for those users. Are they seeing the average revenue per user go higher? I look at metrics. I'm not a big politics kind of guy when it comes to investing. You figure out you. I'll share with you how I created wealth, and hopefully that'll inspire you to do something similar. There's a big question on when someone should retire. Career and retirement planning needs to be pretty straightforward. You did the career ladder, and that left you with a couple of twilight decades of retirement. It was a binary proposition. You weren't working until you weren't. Now there's traditional retirement, full stop retirement. 56% of Americans eventually want to leave the workforce. The rest are in a mix. 30% want to partially retire. 7% never plan to stop working, and 6% don't know what they'll do. So roughly 1 in 5 Americans 65 and older were employed last year, nearly double the approximate 1 in 10 in the 1980s. So you can see a trend there. Over the last 40 years, we've extended our workforce years. There's what are called clean breakers, which are people who do full retirement. There's the reinventors, transition to part-time work. The never stoppers, i.e. no retirement. Which are you? Something we're going to be talking about at an event coming up May 9th in Palo Alto at the Elks Lodge Thursday evening, 6:30 to 8:30. CFP Chad Burton, Wealth Preservation, Retirement Planning. Excited about robblackshow.com. Older people are working longer. Corporate America is taking note of this. Leaning into a multi-generational workforce with 5 generations working side by side, it leads to higher output and greater economic growth. I'm not saying I like the idea. I've made enough that I don't have to work till the day I die. I've saved enough. I've invested enough. I just haven't thought of, do I actually go full quit or do I linger? I think I'm gonna linger. I think I like doing this kind of show. And as long as there's, 10 people listening, I'll still do it. Life expectancy has really grown in the last 40 years. So people have to work longer, regardless if they didn't, because they probably didn't save enough. So markets are rising today on strong retail sales and earnings overshadow the Iran-Israel conflict. That can change quickly. Just know that. Have some confidence that you shouldn't get too far ahead in this one. And say, it didn't go up. Oil didn't go up, and we're in the clear. That would be inflationary, right? For the year, the NASDAQ's up 7.8%. If we can get to the end of July or the beginning of July, if we can get to the beginning of July with the NASDAQ up 7.8% and the S&P 500 up 7.4%, I would consider that a victory. So if I'm saying if we can get 2.5 months going sideways, I would be thrilled with that because we'd be on pace for a 15% year. I don't think we're going to be a 30% year. It's safe to say that, That's when you're drawing too many things forward. The S&P Mid-Cap 400 is up 4.3% for the year. I would like to see the S&P Mid-Cap 400 and the Russell 2000 both do well for the next 4 months, and the NASDAQ take a little bit of a break with the S&P 500. I don't think that's going to happen. That's what I'd like. I like seeing all these horses move from left to right. And right now, the sprinters in the NASDAQ and the S&P 500, the S&P Mid-Cap 400 is doing a nice job, but albeit not as nice as the NASDAQ and the S&P 500. There's a sense of release, a sense of relief today. How does that make you feel? That Israel did not result. The bombings, the attacks on Israel did not result in any damage. Buy the dip action. That tells you, A, they've got a great missile defense system, or B, Iran's missile strikes with drones, not terribly smart. I think it's more the A, Israel's got a great defense system. So there's a buy the dip action recently after last week's losses. Broad buying activity at the open brought stocks higher. But like I said, after we went higher to start the day, and to kind of put last week in perspective, it was like, hey, that was a tough CPI number. It was a easy on inflation number to digest on the PPI, the producer prices, but the consumer prices was a tough number. Tesla shares are down 3% on the news of the job cuts and cutting it to 10% of their workforce. Is the best days of Tesla behind it? They've stopped production of the Cybertruck. Something's terribly wrong with the steering column. He said that will stop for at least a week. Would you buy a Cybertruck? I would not. You can find me online at Rob Black Show. Big event coming up May 9th. If you want to be one of the first people to sign up at robblackshow.com. It's robblackshow.com.
For more information about EP Wealth, visit robblack.com. That's robblack.com.
A couple more insights into what's happening at Tesla. Not only are they letting go 10% of their workforce, about 15,000 people, a lot of executives are leaving. Two of the top Tesla executives have left the car maker. Senior Vice President Drew Baglino, he resigned from the company. He's been one of just four named executives leading engineering and technology development for its batteries, motors, and energy products. 18-year veteran. He would co-host earnings calls and share the stage with Chief Executive CEO Elon Musk. He did the Investor Day just over a year ago. Rohan Patel, Tesla's Vice President of Public Policy and Business Development, also leaving. What I kind of want to get at there is success or failure starts at the top. And when you lose executives in bunches, it's a flag to me of I'd rather be on the sidelines. Why are they leaving? Doesn't mean I can't work my way back into the like making a case for it. So far, outside investors in Donald J. Trump stock have lost 50%. That's not good. I always feel pain for people when they lose money. Netflix is going to report earnings this week. They really surprised Wall Street last week. Did they get another rabbit in their hat? Don't know. Amazon might have one of its first hit series on Amazon Prime Video. Fallout's doing quite well with the reviews. And based on a video game? I don't know. Apple's having a tough quarter. They've lost the number one title of phone maker in the world. They're now number two again. Phone units are down 10% for the quarter. Apple iPhone first quarter shipments sink as Chinese challengers rise. Samsung took that top spot. Apple shipped 50.1 million units, down 9.6% from the 55.4 shipments in the same period last year. They're really having difficulty getting their phones to grow again. I have four phones in my family. And we're all holding on to them a little bit longer for no other reason than they still work pretty good. So Apple's services are doing great. Apple's hardware, they really need to have that Developers Day come up in June. So right now we're in April. We're halfway through April, but early in June, they're going to have their Developers Day. And they're going to release new software to the developers to start working on new stuff for the fall. But that's also when we're probably going to hear the word AI smartphone. And something tells me in the back rooms right now, Apple's coming up with cute ways of using the A and the little I. Seems about right, huh? Small private colleges are struggling to keep their doors open as declining enrollment leads to financial instability. I don't say I feel bad for the college industry. It is such an industry that has grown so much, inflating prices all along the way. But a growing number of U.S. colleges and universities are facing financial strain due to high operating costs, poor fundraising, and declining enrollment. Following a wave of closures for profit colleges in the mid-2010s, closures of nonprofit institutions began rising in 2017. Another issue is the demographic cliff that's really coming up. Declining birth rates, with fewer high school graduates, meaning fewer potential college students. Enrollment at four-year colleges in the U.S. peaked at nearly 18.1 million in 2010, and it's fallen each year through 2021. How do you feel about the decline in college attendance? Bad term, long-term bad. The college jobs create higher-paying salaries. Higher-paying salaries create higher paid taxes. Oh, happy tax day, by the way. Some things to do as you're aging in retirement in your 50s. A couple mistakes that people make is they don't get long-term care insurance. I'm going to meet with my CFP, Brad, my certified financial planner, Brad, at EP Wealth, and we're going to talk about long-term care insurance. I have enough money and wealth that I could insure myself, where taking that hit when you're in the final years of your life and you end up in long-term care for 3 years, that's $500,000 roughly. Long-term care insurance can help you tackle rising care costs. The median price of a private room in an assisted living facility was $64,000 per year. Buying coverage now can protect you from paying high premiums later. Once you get to your 60s, they really jack up the premiums and it can be very costly. So in your 50s, mid-50s to late-50s, that's the time to do it. Another mistake people make in their 50s is they don't increase their 401k contribution. If you're earning $80,000 per year, you'd have an additional $16,000 in their retirement fund by age 67 if they increase contributions by 1%. That's assuming you get a very small 5.5% growth rate and your salary is growing 4% a year. So you can't obsess about the past. You got to focus on maxing out everything now, especially in your final few years. If you can't say the statement, I've got enough wealth to live off till the day I die, and you're in your 50s, you got to push up that 401k contribution. Even a little bit goes a long way. Like I said, a 1% bump, if you're earning $80,000 per year, would add $16,000 in your retirement fund at age 67. That's not too shabby. And what I've started doing now, working with a CFP, is diversifying my tax buckets. I've got IRA money in Roths. I've got a Roth 401k. I've got a 401k, which is very strange here. I know you're going to say, I don't find that strange. My 401k is held at Fidelity, and I've had basically two major employers in my life, New Focus Financial and now EP Wealth. And the Roth 401k wasn't an option when I first started 25 years ago, but it is now. So I do it now. And that means the money that I pay now, I won't pay taxes on when I pull it out later. So $100,000 is really $100,000. It's not take out 28% due to taxes. So $100,000 is really $100,000 if it's in a Roth, because I'm diversifying my tax buckets. It's not $72,000 after taxes and sales taxes. I mean, you're still going to get hit with taxes, right? But the more pure that number can be, I've got a large position in a couple stocks and companies. I guess the word is few. And when you look at the net worth of it, you go, that's impressive. But when you look at it after taxes, you go, oh, that's less impressive. So oil prices could see super spike well above 100 if conflict escalates after Iran's attack on Israel. That is out there. And that would cause the market to get very volatile. It would probably hit that 10% correction pretty fast. And I would be much happier. I wouldn't be happy with the way we got there. Iran is home to vast oil resources, and any disruption to its capacity to supply global markets could push prices higher. Joe Biden is keeping his fingers crossed. He reiterated the U.S. commitment to Israel's security. He told Netanyahu that Washington would be not participating in any offensive operations against Iran. Oil prices could soar to $100 a barrel if things get dicey. And I'll be honest with you, my knowledge of politics is very limited. And you should know that. And I think your knowledge of politics is probably pretty limited based on which news organization you watch. We don't know what's going to happen, or at least I'm pretty sure I don't know what's going to happen. This is a funny new phrase on Wall Street. You've heard of FOMO, right? FOMO, F-O-M-O. Fear of missing out. That's why people always buy stocks when they dip 5%. It's a well-known social media phenomenon. Now there's a new one, OMO. O-M-O. And that's with okay missing out. When it comes to this year's stock market rally, because people are nervous about earnings and how high prices have gotten, inflation. So be very careful right now if you're buying stocks for the first time in your life. We have high valuations. I want the first time you buy stocks to be a good experience. If you look back at Netflix and you look back at Nvidia, they've both been down 30% twice in the last 6 to 7 years. If you wait patiently, you can get opportunities to buy high valuation names. The weight loss drug makers, Eli Lilly and Novo Nordisk, you know, if they're down 10%, that's a pretty good sale, but certainly 20 and 30% would be better. So if you're new, try to be patient in buying your first stocks. I don't want it to be a bad experience for you. I have a friend that got very cocky two years ago, and she took some money from selling a house and she invested it. And now most of that money's gone because she didn't know what to do after she bought. You got to be really, really careful when you're investing. You have to have a strategy and a plan. Going to be doing a big event May 9th in Palo Alto. Retirement planning and wealth preservation. Sign up at robblackshow.com.
Brought to you by EP Wealth. This is the Rob Black Show.
There was reports out on Friday that Iran would soon launch an attack on Israel. And that was part of the reason the markets had a sharp loss quickly on Friday. The reports were correct. What happens on Friday doesn't happen on Monday. Today we're higher. Weird, right? It seems to defy reason. Iran's drone missile attack on Israel's post to succeed, it didn't. It was suppressed. It was supposed to cause real economic damage for Israel and the global economy. Now, what will the response be? Will there be a response? Can't guarantee anything. Don't know. Goldman Sachs delivered a blowout earnings report this morning, comfortably surpassing consensus expectations. Consumers delivered more spending activity on retail goods in February and March than, I say February and March because March was reported today, but February was revised higher. A little bit of clumping of the data helps. Strong retail sales report coupled with price paid component of the Empire State Manufacturing Survey set the market for treasuries to new lows this morning. 10-year note is up 11 basis points to 4.61%, making it better for savers than investors at this point. Now, again, that's just my opinion. When the 10-year treasury gets above 4.5%, I'm more inclined to put new money or money into income, fixed income. Treasuries or money markets, you get the idea. I think that's, I don't want to say that's the story today, but strong economic data and strong earnings is kind of giving this expectation that the Fed has to cut interest rates for us to move higher a break. 10-year treasury sits at 4.64 right now. Again, I believe any number over 3.5 starts to favor income. Over 4.5 definitely favors income, in my opinion. Historically, you can go for 8 to 10% returns on the S&P 500, or you can go for what the 10-year has given you, safer returns at 4.6%. I'm surprised consumers aren't more frustrated and taking it out on retail. I certainly feel that my trip to the grocery stores are just, it's kind of maddening. Just, wow, that got expensive fast. And I kind of brought it on myself. Family of four, where I'm the breadwinner. And I also shop for the groceries. So that's not good, huh? Nearly one in four Americans plan to decrease their 401k contributions. This could be a bad idea. To contribute funds, you generally have to give something up, right? So taking care of your 401k typically means you're going to say, I'm not going to get a super nice car, or I'm going to take a less higher-end vacation. I understand that you're making a sacrifice. 24% of respondents cited plans to decrease their 401k contribution to free up more money for disposable income. I get it. We just talked about inflation zapping me at the grocery store. It's zapping you too, right? But yet we continue to spend, which is interesting. So we look at that 401k and we go, why am I saving $20,000 a year for my retirement? I could use that money now and have a good day. If you're managing your essential bills reasonably well and you're thinking of cutting back on retirement plan contributions to free up more spending cash, I'd think twice. Now, again, I get it. You may decide that instead of contributing $300 a month to your 401k, you'll scale back to 100 and use that extra 200 to socialize more with friends while you're in your 20s and 30s, while you're living in a big city. And there's great entertainment. I went to see Tosh this weekend in Santa Rosa. Really funny comedian. Little bit edgy, little bit dark. But that's what I like in my comedy. And I spent money on tickets and money on dinner, right? If you cut your retirement plan contributions to free up more money for near-term wants, it really takes a hit, especially if you're younger, to your retirement later. If you're in your 30s with a $6,000 balance in your 401k and you've been putting in $300 a month, you decide to cut that down to 100. By age 65, you'll have a balance around $295,000. On the other hand, let's say your balance is that same $6,000. You continue to contribute $300 a month. By the time you're 65, that would be $709,000. $709,000 versus $295,000. The difference of $200 a month in your 30s. Now, again, I get it. Tosh tickets were $200. I could easily take that out of my 401k and go on, whoop, didn't miss a thing. But I missed the future contributions. And that, my friends, is a huge opportunity lost. Try not to do it. I know. I'm your rich uncle who is trying to give good advice. Trying right now, right? Ryan Reynolds was pretty funny on Saturday Night Live this weekend. Cracked up in almost every segment, which there's something to be said that when people can't hold a straight face, it makes everything funnier, right?
One.
Today's a weird day. Former President of the United States, Donald J. Trump, is in court. First time we've ever had a former president in a criminal trial post his presidency. I would imagine the news cycle will eat that up tonight pretty aggressively. Taking a look at the markets, see how we've done. We opened higher, and then the numbers started working lower. We almost got to a negative day. We did in the NASDAQ.
30.
But the Dow and the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ are all chasing a little bit higher. You can find me online at robblackshow.com. It's robblackshow.com. There's all sorts of links to videos that I do and radio shows that I've recorded. Plus, you can sign up for the next event May 9th in Palo Alto. It is an event dedicated to getting you through retirement, wealth preservation, retirement planning with CFP Chad Burton, 6:30 to 8:30 at the Elks Lodge in Palo Alto, Thursday, May 9th, 6:30 to 8:30. Sign up at robblackshow.com.
Visit the Rob Black Show online at robblackshow.com. Listen to archived podcasts, market updates, and information from EP Wealth Certified Financial Planners online at robblackshow.com.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.